The Disappointing Friend podcast is produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We pay respect to elders past and present. We're grateful to share in the act of oral storytelling and community care that has existed within these cultures on these lands for thousands of years. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
How exciting. This is our first recording for the whole year. A bit weird coming in. I was like, oh my God, I used to spend all of my time in this studio and now I've been here for a whole year. How crazy.
I was a little bit unsure of how to use the recording system, to be honest. I was like, I hope this is correct. The red button is on.
So. True, and it wouldn't be the first time or the last time, so yay. Oh, well, what a joyous occasion. It's been a year since we started this process and we've put it out in the world. It's like having a baby, carrying it, putting it out in the world. It's been like ups and downs, like having a baby. Sometimes they fall on the floor.
Oh my God.
Don't worry, they're always fine and probably better for it. They definitely keep you up all night. I've had a few of those moments with this podcast. And I've had a few like really amazing, like fun, and we've had a lot of giggles. We've had a lot of really amazing feedback. We've had a lot of like touching. I've had a few touching emails and text messages as well. So like just like having a baby, I feel like I've been through all of the stages.
Yeah, definitely quite a number of late nights trying to make sure that the edit is editing correctly. And yeah, the collective feedback has been really nice. It's just nice to know that it resonates with people, because I think we both had so many conversations in the lead up where we were like felt confident that it was a topic that was worthy of exploration. But it's nice to know that people are listening.
100%. Well, should we do our intros?
Yeah. Hey, besties. Welcome to our final episode of season one, the Disappointing Friend podcast, with me, your co-host, Juliette Miranda Rowe, your favorite spinster guru. This is our last episode. We're going to do a little bit of a wrap up about our feelings and the reflections and the reactions that we had to putting the podcast out in the world. And then also like set some intentions for moving into the next season. Like,
well, should I start?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Fatuma. I was trying to work out all week. I was like, what am I going to introduce myself as? And I feel like because I've had lots of ups and downs and just reflective moments, I'm actually just going to be like, hi, I'm Fatuma, your resident pea plater. I'm still in the probationary stages or learning phases of being a really good friend. And anytime I feel like I've nailed it or I feel confident about moving forward, or like even just like the other day I say to Juliette, you know, this year I'm just going to like have these difficult conversations with my friends. And then I also called Juliette a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, you were like, I didn't have that conversation.
I can't do
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
I can't do it.
I was like, did you say that at the time? Like, did you say, are you saying what? Did you say what you're saying to me now to her face? You're like, absolutely not. We're in a restaurant.
So also I just realized that I am on my pee plates. And, you know, it takes 4 years to get your full license. It takes four years.
So, yeah.
Well, here I am. Well, should we start? Juliette and I did this a year ago, and I wanted to say that every single time someone would DM me and or say anything or I got feedback. And when we did it, our intentions was always for self-improvement. Well, for me, definitely. And to be a better friend. Like, that was the intention of it. I've always wanted to start a podcast. Anyone that's known me for a very long time has known that I've always wanted to do one. And so for me, I was at a pivotal time in my life. I wanted to do a project that I believed in. Something that was about self-improvement. But something also I felt like the world needed. Like, you know, we were having conversations with lots of other people. And lots of people were like, I think what you're doing or what you're saying is really interesting. And wow, yeah, we should be unpacking it. Or that was the intention. It was never to really air people's dirty laundry out. It wasn't really about other people, to be honest. And I'm the type of person that always wants to be intentional about anything I do. And if the intention is to hurt, then I never want to do a project like that. So we filmed this a year ago. And I think that I loved that we did that because it's given us so much time to think of how we wanted to edit it down and also what we really wanted to say. What was the actual message of the podcast?
Mm. I remember when you came to me with the idea, we both wanted to start podcasts individually. And my idea was that I had a completely different podcast and I don't know whether I'll do it in any capacity, but I wanted to do something where it was almost like a book club format, learning about conflicts, resolutions and rupture and repair within relationships. Like obviously the conversation came up at some point.
Yeah.
I think then you, because you had had your own idea and we individually had spoken about our own friendship stuff, you were like, this is what the podcast is like, let's make it about friendship. Mm. And so it's interesting because listening back, so many people who are my friends who don't know you have been like, Fatima's being so vulnerable and you're definitely being a bit more reserved. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about so many personal things. And then they know me as me, who is insanely TMI in everyday scenarios. But when we were listening back to it, I was like, oh yeah, wow. I can hear myself thinking even in the recording about don't go there, don't say this. Because I definitely think for me when I was doing it, I was already aware of the edit. And so it was almost like I was self-editing at the time.
But she didn't tell me that, did she?
No. And Fatima would be like, you know, in like certain episodes, it sounds like you haven't had a shitty relationship since high. Like it sounds like you haven't had a toxic friend since high school. Whereas like you had a toxic friendship that week. And I'm like, I know. And look at me. I just didn't talk about it on the mic because I was trying to be respectful. But in reality, I'm like, oh yeah, it definitely does make me sound maybe less. I think my takeaway from when we were listening back to it, I was like, oh yeah, wow. I hate the idea that people think I'm not petty or think I'm not. I'm like, I definitely have all of those feelings. And that's been the interesting thing listening back to it. Like when we recorded it, I was still really reeling from the shock of losing not just like one friend, but like multiple different friendships and losing connection to like feeling also ostracized. And I say feeling because I'm like, if I said to someone else, you've ostracized me, like they would say like, that's not what happened. But it's more like that's the feeling. You go like, wow, there are entire groups of people that I'm not in contact with anymore. And I feel like an outsider amongst. So I was very much in a state where I was trying to be like really open to repair and really trying to like overanalyze my feelings. And I think, yeah, I probably could have been more revealing about certain circumstances.
Oh, but that's why there's a season two, Julia. I want to hear all your goss.
Well, no, I think it's just more, I think I'm in a place now where, yeah, where I have just processed a lot more stuff. And yeah, even when I think back to that first few episodes, I'm referring to myself as a socialite. I'm like, that's also because like at the start of last year, I was like, all right, we're in rebuild mode. We're rebuilding our communities. We're rebuilding our friendship groups. We're really like putting ourselves out there for new relationships.
And like I said, I'm quite an intentional person. If I'm going to put something out there, I wanted it to be fully vulnerable. I guess I didn't really think I was being that vulnerable because my life is quite deep and I'm only going to share the stuff that I think is relevant for people to be able to grow from it. I want people to come on to this podcast and A, understand that they're not the only ones, B, actually be able to listen to it and resonate and relate to it, but also realize like the way that I'm going to grow is through other people. So the more and more I get feedback, I'm like, oh my god, that's so true, I wasn't this bad. Or like even just unpacking lots of it with you and understanding my part in it, I think that as I get older, accountability or self-accountability is something that I definitely lean towards, and I think that it makes me a better person. And when I think about when I die and people come to my funeral, I want people to say stuff like, she was vulnerable, oh wow, she always strived to be the best. Not yeah. She is the best.
Yeah,
I don't care about that. Strived, or her intention was good. And I love that I got to show a different side of me, because lots of people know me, and because I'm loud and a bit boisterous, I think people think they know me. They're like, oh yeah, she shares these stories. But I'm like, no, 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 no. I think I let you know the parts that I want to let you know of myself. So it was nice to do this podcast where I had this different intention of, you know, putting something in the air that was going to help people. Yes, I was a bit petty. Yes, maybe even, you know, a bit more funny. Lots of different sides of me. I'm sure there are some of my friends that would listen and actually found out things they didn't know about me for the first time, because I just wouldn't bring that to a dinner. Even the other day I got a message from my friend and she was like, oh my god, me too. I was not allowed to watch Neighbours. You know? Or the gift wrapping. I got so many little DMs about the gift wrapping situation. And I was like, yes, that's a whole side of my life that I did it for 4 years.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm just never going to come at 40-year-old Fatima being like, hey, Juliet, you know what I used to do? You just don't do that kind of stuff. So it's been nice to have these beautiful memories.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. And this is also because we had, like, really different friendship fallouts. Like, you were someone who, like, was called a disappointing friend by someone or maybe multiple people, actually.
multiple.
Whereas, like, I was more someone who was trying to call... I'm not even saying call out. I was trying to, like, make friends aware of my own feelings and maybe not in the most successful ways. But because in, like, my relationship breakdowns, people's reactions made me feel so ashamed of, like, the scale of my emotions. Mm. And so when I listen back to, like, those recordings, I'm like, wow, that's, like, I was still trying to sound so grounded, so measured, so overly compassionate to people. When I think about it now, I'm like, that was me having a reaction to multiple people in my life. Tell me I was too much. Tell me, like, they're trying to protect their peace from me. They don't have the energy. They don't have the capacity. They just don't want to deal with my drama. That it's like, okay, fine. Let's like make myself not the drama. And so when I listen back to some of those episodes, it's not that I don't agree with what I'm saying. I think I sound like I still agree with a lot of it. It's like, it's interesting that, like, the version that ended up coming on the mic, oh, that's really not what I'm trying to. And even in, like, some of our, like, public reactions, because we worked out that you were getting a lot of messages from people being like, I really relate to you as a fellow bad friend. And I was like, oh my God, do people think that I'm, like, not a bad friend? I'm like, are people not hearing me talk about how multiple people distance themselves from me and, like, doing the math and going, like, maybe you weren't that great? Yeah, I think that was interesting because I had a moment where I was like, am I not relatable? And obviously I had feedback, and, like, I had my own friends listening to it, and I had people who just DMing me, like, nice things and stuff. But I had a real moment where I was like, oh, it for me, it, like, really reiterated how different I process the world compared to a lot of people. And in some ways that actually made me feel more alienated. It opened up more questions, I suppose, around friendship.
Which is crazy because I actually feel like you're one of the wisest people that I mean, I've got a lot of intelligent, wise friends, but I'm like, I really look up to our relationship because we're able to unpack things in a way that I don't think a lot of people can. And I think that you have really solid advice. And because you have done the work more than most people, which is a lot, because most people haven't done any work.
Yeah.
So if you've done a little bit of work on yourself and you understand it, I think that some people might look at that, oh my God, Juliet, wow. So it's not that you weren't relatable, it's just more like, wow, this is the person that's done the work. And that, like, in our society, less people have done that. So I actually commend you. I'm always like, yeah, Juliet, like, how often I called her through edits, like, yes, that was the best advice. Oh my God, thank God you said that. And I love this podcast because of that. Is a balance, yeah. Or a yin, you're my yin to my yang, is that a thing? I'm the bad analogy, yeah. Girl, because it is, it's not nothing would have been worse than you and I just getting on here as people have said to me, girls talking or yapping and just, like, just saying stuff for the sake of it,
yeah.
I think that what we wanted this podcast to be is not a resource, but a place that you could come to where you could hear multiple views, layered, that weren't always complimentary. There are times, like last episode, Toxic, like, we were screaming at each other.
Yeah.
But at the end, we resolved it. Like, we didn't go away, like, not being friends.
No.
We resolved it. We were able to have lots and lots of giggles. And really, like, we've got two different points of views. Yeah. And I think that's the world.
Yeah.
You know?
No, 100%. It's not that I don't, like, appreciate other people thinking I'm wise. I just think it's more, like... It's more of a thing. It's hard to start find the right words. When you start trying to unpack your behavior patterns and change parts of yourself, there is a fear. And I could feel it. I was like, oh, I know I'm behaving differently around certain people. And, like, I could feel my relationships changing. And then to have people who I'd loved for a really long time reject me for, you know, whatever the reasons were, you feel alienated. Because some of my friends... when they had reactions to me where they're like, I don't know what you want me to say. And that made me feel like the level of, I don't know, like, worked on myselfness that I was bringing to the relationship was maybe intimidating to them. And they felt like there was this perfect way they needed to show up, which is, like, not what I wanted.
Yeah.
I didn't want them. And, like, you've even said, like, some people have been like, what was that book Juliet talked about? I'm like, I'd love to know more resources. And I know for me, when I was having these friend fallouts, I was like reading so many books. I was listening to so many podcasts. I was trying to like absorb all the information because I thought there was like this really particular way that you had to perform in a relationship. And like, if I just do all the things correctly, then the relationship is going to be perfect or everything's going to work. But it's like, that's not true. If anything, it meant that I would look at pretty regular conflict through this very like analytical lens and be like, oh, well, they said this. And so we've only got 3 more years left of the relationship, really. So better just end things now. Like literally at one point someone reacted to me in this way. And it happened to be that I'd read like some therapist's newsletter that week that was like, how someone reacts to you in an argument right now is statistically how they're going to react for like the next 6 years. I can't even quote that statistic to you, but at the time that was fresh in my mind. And I was like, wow, she's just not even trying to listen to me right now. Yeah. And can you, at this point in your life, at 31 years old, do you want to spend the next 6 years trying to like beg someone to listen to you?
Yeah.
And I didn't. And so I gave up. Whereas in reality, you can read all of the books, but like all relationships really are is just like continuing to show up and try to love each other as best you can. And it's not always going to be great. And like to bring it back to us, it's like, I do think that's why this is good, because like, it's not us trying to like tell people how to be the best friend or something.
No.
It's literally just us a lot of the time disagreeing with each other but like still just agreeing to like try and like.
And unpack.
Yeah, and unpack it.
And it's interesting that you say that, because I like, you know, often when I have had feedback, people have asked me like, oh, it's so weird that you're choosing to do this, or, you know, that's quite vulnerable, whatever they're choosing to say to me. And I went back to it, because when I was saying to Juliet, when I first started this, I have to say, I did not think about the aftermath. Because like I said, I didn't come on to do this to be petty, or like my full intention was to discover how to be a better friend to my friends. And so I didn't actually think about Juliet. I was like the total opposite. I came in being like, oh my God, this is what's happened. How can I be better? I want to end the year with like better relationships.
No media training whatsoever.
As you can tell by all of my intros, all my stuttering, all my miscommunication or pronunciations, I should say, all of that was just because I wanted to be better. And so I think that when I look at the progress of what we've done in the year, I don't know if I am ever going to be better. That's actually the truth. Like what I did before, I haven't actually like changed all that much, but I think I'm always putting myself in the other person's headspace a bit more. I'm a bit more, what is it, empathetic? Not that I wasn't. I'm just a lot more empathetic. But I also realize exactly what you're saying, that there's not a solution. It's the willingness. And I think that, you know, we just finished editing again the episode with my auntie, and she says it. It's the willingness to show up and just be friends and make that decision. And it's never going to be the best. It's not going to be from a TV show. It's just going to be about both of you showing up in whatever energy capacity that you both have in that day, in that month. So I think it's really interesting that like now that we've had time, honestly, I actually think that time of how I felt, what I was thinking, and taking 6 months to edit it, I just feel the total opposite to most of the things. No, not the total opposite. I feel like way more resolved. Mm. I'm not actually changing. All I have the capacity to do is change my reaction to how people say, what people say to me, and how I'm affected by it, and how much I choose to want to partake in that.
Yeah.
So like weirdly at the start I was like, let's put it out. Oh, thank God.
I was thinking about how in episode one, I just mentioned this thing called the Gottman's Institute, which is just like this couple who have been researching relationships since the 70s. And they have this statistic where they're like, I think it's 60%. It could be 70%, but they're like 60% of all conflict is persistent conflict. It doesn't change. It's actually just like a personality thing. There's just going to be clashes where you and your partner or you and your friend just don't agree on certain things. And that's why with relationships, you can be like, we're having the same argument over and over again forever. And so their whole thing is all about just like accepting people where they are, and like both of you learning how to I don't even say compromise, but yeah, like ebb and flow with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I am at now. But when we were listening back and you had said like, you sound so confident, and I was like, oh my God, I'm such a uni lecturer. Cause like that is literally what I do for a job. But I'm like, wow, it's so funny. Cause I mean, I definitely also edited out some of the times where I'd be like, I think this.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it sounds like I'm saying things as if they're just pure facts. But I'm like, obviously, guys, what I'm saying is just my opinion. It's my thoughts.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I don't want it to sound like I'm like preaching to people. Because I, just this week, actually, I've had a real moment where I'm like, the things that work for me are not necessarily going to work for other people.
Yeah.
I was even thinking about it because with one episode where I'm like, relationships are a portal for like deep transformation and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, some people don't want to deeply transform.
No.
They don't want that.
Yeah.
And it's rather than me be this person that's like, come on,
yeah,
deeply transform. Don't you want to deeply transform? And it's like, some people just don't want that. And that's just like not what they're here to be doing. And like, that's cool for them. And
you know what? And that's what I found was one of the biggest challenges is, and I was talking to who, I literally was having this conversation with someone very recently, like maybe even 2 days ago, is about how people want to live their lives. Like I definitely, and I thought you're very similar to me, want to live my life where I'm constantly challenging myself, but I'm also wanting to be better. And so maybe some of the stuff that happened with my friends wasn't that deep, but all I knew was that I wanted to be more happier, or I wanted it to be better, or I wanted to get more from it. And I think that what I found really hard about this producing it and getting criticism about it wasn't that, like, you know, Juliet and I have done all this ourselves. We're not a producer. We kind of, so like, yes, we know it's not always going to be technically the best. We know, like,
we contradict each other, yes, like within 5 minutes.
Oh, per episode. Yeah. I'm like this 1 week and a half. But what we both have that, you know, both what we share in common is that we live our lives where we always want to be better. And when I say better, it's in the sense that I want it to be better, yeah? Mm. I want to constantly challenge myself. So, yes, there's lots of people that have had friendship bust-ups that wouldn't start a podcast. Great. I don't care. Yeah. I wanted to do it for me. So I think that one of the things that I did find really challenging is that, and also maybe just hearing criticism. My husband's always told me, like, you're not very good at hearing criticism, are you? And I'm like, nothing like a podcast, a public podcast, that tells you that more than anybody else.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, girl, you got to work on those skills.
Does this move us into people's reactions?
Oh, you know what? We'll do reactions and some highlights.
So yeah.
Let's balance it out. The good and the bad. I want to start with a positive. So the highlights have been like just like getting in touch with so many people from all walks of my life. So like, obviously I talk about the primary school situation about that. I had people from my primary school reach out on like Facebook or Instagram and be like, hey, I'm sorry, or oh, and it was really, really touching.
Yeah, wow.
And often I was like, no, it wasn't about you. I really liked you. We were really great.
Somebody else.
But it was so nice that lots of people listened. Like even through the analytics, we realized that people were listening. It wasn't just me and Juliet.
All over
and
the world.
Which is so nice.
Shout out to whoever is in South Korea.
Yeah. Listening to us. But also like it gave me a chance. Like I, you know, there's a few times where I like, you know, shout out to my friend Jade. Like, I'm going to coffee with her next week. Like, it also made me want to reach out to lots of relationships that I'd let go. And actually, I had drinks with some high school friends I hadn't seen for like 20 years. It really kind of made me do the work. And some of my friends that I wasn't talking to that well, I had lunch with one of them last week. And it's been really nice to kind of reconnect and, you know, really think about it. That's been like my highlights, but also the really nice comments. I had voice notes, people that like would just call me and be like, hey, listen to your podcast. And that was really, really, really special because I think that there's nothing, A, better than putting something out in the world that resonates with people and that people actually enjoy. B, the things that happened 20 years ago doesn't really reflect the rest of your life. You could easily fix them. So, like, yes, it's true that I didn't hang out with Jade for ages, but, like, I can hang out with her now.
Mm.
And, you know, she sent me lots of photos and it was, like, this little really nice, like, you know, memory lane moment for me. And I realised, oh, yeah, I've got the control to change my path anyway. Yes, it took a podcast to do it, but, like, you know, that was probably my highlight of it all. Just kind of that reminiscing and knowing that people, that resonated with people.
We had such different responses because I think for you this was like a moment reflecting on your own behavior, whereas I think for me I'm still like someone who very much like wants to embody love, but I think for me it was more about coming around to my level of like rage and hurt, which probably doesn't come through. But when we were editing it, or even just in the delay, what we didn't discuss before is that in the beginning, I was the one that was like tasked with us editing it. And you were like, what's going on? I was like, hey, it's actually really difficult to edit this because we talk about so many personal things and like I don't know where the line is with like what's appropriate to share versus what should be shared because it's like universal and it's important. Like you don't want to take everything out and it becomes sterile. And when you first realized how difficult it was, because there was definitely resistance in me, where I think it was more about coming to terms and actually letting, like in a lot of ways, I thought I had let go of certain situations and relationships, but talking about these things publicly felt like a really monumental, like the first time we recorded this last year, it was like the first time I'd actually even really referred to my ex-best friend like as an ex-best friend. I had been referring to her as like my estranged friend because there was still this part of me that was like, sure, like stuff's really weird right now, but like one day. When I said it on the mic, I remember even at the time like being like, whoa, that feels like a defining moment. But in reality, it's like, no. I had like a big breakthrough even over like the summer when I was talking to Laura actually about why it was taking me so long to edit. I was in a meditation and I was like, what am I still holding on to? I've like done so much work to try and let go of anger and like let go of sadness. Like, what am I still holding on to? And I was like, oh, I need to let go of hope. Like I needed to let go of the hope that those relationships would rekindle, because you can even hear it like in a few of the episodes where I'm talking about like, oh, I think like relationships can come back. And I still do believe that. There was a part of me that was still just thinking about them almost as if, oh, there are still these words that I want to say to this person. There's still conversations that I want to have. But these people don't want to have those conversations with you. So you actually just need to put them down. Not put the people down, but put the words down, put the conversations down, put it to rest. Because regardless of what's right or wrong, like that's just the situation. Like sometimes people don't want to meet you for a conversation, so you don't get to have that. And so I think for me, doing this, certain conversations might have even come out in what we were saying. But for me, it wasn't necessarily this moment with releasing it where I was like reconnecting with people. Actually, it was quite the opposite. It was more quietly cutting ties, like energetically. It was like finally like moments of saying goodbye. Like I'm a very witchy person and I'd already done plenty of writing down things and burn the things away. But there was a few like little things where I had to like look at people's photos and like have some little like conversations with them, because I think it feels really visible to put something up on the internet, even if it's like not everyone's looking at it or something. You're just like, oh well, it does exist there as like a thing for people to have access to.
100%. And I think that what does, like, you know, I say all I did was reconnect, cause that's actually not true. I think if I was really honest, it was about me taking the hurt out of it. Like a lot of the hurt and anger. So I know there was a few episodes that we had to edit out a little bit more. Not that I was like, you know, raged.
But like the tone.
Unhinged. Maybe the tone felt off, was that I was really hurt by some of the imploding relationships. Where I think that like a year later, a year and a half later, all that hurt is actually not there. I think that when you've built a foundation or a family or community of people around you that you've, you know, I've been through so many different instances, like my mother had died. These people have been there through it, and that kind of then all end. There's so much emotion invested in that. Yeah, it was like grieving it. And so like at the start of this journey, I was in like that grief. Now I'm in more, so it's more just like that hurt has calmed down. The sea, the storm has kind of calmed down. And the relationships aren't back together and we're all, you know, hunky-dory and I'm having yum cha. It's more like my expectations, my hurt has kind of dissipated. And what I've been able to really reflect on is the space that I was taking up for the relationships that were never going to get to there in the first place, or just wasn't right, or maybe for that time or this period wasn't going to get there, was that I was actually so invested mentally, physically, that I wasn't opening myself up to other situations and other opportunities. And I look at all the people that I've let into my life. Oh my God, they're amazing. Yeah. And I feel freer.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've got shackles on. Like I need to do this. I need to call that person.
Yeah.
I need to give that level of energy. I need to give that advice. Yeah. By freeing up a bit of that space, I've actually been able to allow situations in that have been way more enlightening. And so now I feel way more lighter because I feel like that needed to happen. Do I still want to patch up some of the bust ups? I'm not actually even sure. I think maybe the world, like the people that I'm rediscovering that I haven't spoken to 20 years, like maybe it'll just all come to light when it needs to. Yeah. And so, you know, it's not that I am like, oh my God, I'm having tea and coffee with all these people. It's more like the hurt's gone. Which means that I now am more neutral for that. Yeah. Now I am freeing up the time. Now I am thinking about friendships in a different space, which is light and easy.
Yeah.
And not all relationships have to be light and easy. So I'm not trying to say that. But they also just can.
Yeah.
They don't always have to be difficult and in struggle town. They don't have to also be extremely challenging and, you know, earth shattering.
Yeah.
You know?
I think for me, it's like, I don't want to say all the hurt's gone because I do get surprised every time I say like, the hurt is gone. Something will happen and or I'll rethink about a situation and the hurt will very much be there. But I think it's more, I definitely feel as though I've moved past it in a lot of ways. I think the way it was showing up for me the most was how it was affecting new relationships. And, you know, I said in the first episode that like my ex-best friend's birthday is on Christmas and my current newer best friend's birthday is also on Christmas. And that was really weird. Like, it wasn't like I was recruiting Christmas besties. But
you can say
what you want to say about astrology, but like that is weird. And like when we started getting closer, I do remember thinking like my newer friend, I remember it being this having hesitation. Like I was like, this feels really strange to me.
Yeah.
And then last year on Christmas, we hung out in the evening for her birthday, but it was kind of weird because when we met up, I had had this really big emotional grief about my old friend.
Yeah.
And she knows the situation and stuff. So it wasn't like, she wasn't like, you're ruining my birthday with your tears. But one of our friends didn't know the situation and like could just like, I was like, I'm sorry. Like Christmas is kind of weird for me. And like we were at this party and everyone else at that point is having a really good time. They're all drunk. It's 11 p.m. on Christmas. We're doing like singing along to songs. I was like sitting there and I was like, Juliet, you are like this black hole in the room that's just absorbing the good vibes. But everyone was very like, everyone was just like, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
But then someone did my tarot and they don't know anything about the situation. But I don't remember the rest of the tarot reading, but they were like, at some point you made a decision and it was a really difficult decision to make, but you made it, you understood the reasons at the time and it was the decision you had to make at the time. And now you're in this new circumstance and sometimes you're not sure if you've made the right decision, but what you need to understand is like, that's the decision you made then and it was right at the time. And now you just have to like live with the consequences of that decision and be fully present in what you are in now and honor that that's a decision you made. And it was like so weird because that's such a like thing that could mean anything. It could have been like you quit a job or like something. It really spoke to me because I was like, just own you did. Because it was like that. I was in like a really hectic place and there was a whole bunch of behaviors I did. There were things I said. There were actions I chose that like were at the time, even if they were like coming from a bad, like I'm not saying a bad place, but coming from like a really emotional place, there were decisions I made or like actions I did. And it is a thing where it's like, this is just the life you are in now. Because I think that's what can happen sometimes. You can just like stare at a wound. Some people also won't stare at their wounds, right? Like even if you think about a physical wound, like you fall over, you cut your knee or something. Some people are going to be like, I don't want to look at it. No, never. Ignore it. Pretend it's not there. Some people are going to like stare at it. Some people are going to pick at it. And I think with emotional wounds, you can get into this thing of picking at it to try and like understand it and like try and make sense of it. And I think I underestimated how much the podcast would be like that as well, this constant reminder. Because even when we're putting it out, I had a moment where I was like, oh, I don't want to be that person that's like making it their whole identity that they like had friend breakups or like making it their brand that they're like were bad at friendship or like that they've had fallouts.
Yeah.
And I was really anxious about coming across as like bitter or coming across as, I don't know, just like I was really conscious of like how I would come across. But yeah, basically on this Christmas, I was like, yeah, just live in the life you have now and like stop picking at this wound. Because it was definitely, I would be so tentative in the way I was showing up in new relationships. Like even with my new friend, at one point I had said something where I was like, even calling her my new friend, like we've had a conversation about that. She's like, you're always like, you know, we haven't known each other that long. She was like, it's been 3 years. You're right. Like that is a long time. But I guess there was this part of me that's like, I think just still a bit on edge, like waiting for the other shoe to drop and be like, oh, at any moment, like be prepared that like this new thing could drastically change and like don't get too attached to these new connections. But I think I'm a lot more grounded at the moment about stuff like that.
But also I find it interesting because I think that knowing some, like the length of knowing someone doesn't actually mean anything. You know, I think that that's what I, my biggest lesson was. For so long, I was like, I've been friends with so-and-so for 10 years, you know, so I've got to keep this going. Mm. I've been friends with so-and-so for 20 years, so I've got to keep this going. But I actually think, and I've reflected on it, that means nothing. I think, you know, like, you are your true self at different times, and the ability to grow with a person at any stage or be able to empathize, because there's so many things that maybe for some of my friends that I've known for 20 years we just don't have that much in common anymore, so the way that I like show up in that relationship is very different. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the relationship, but being my authentic self, true self, that only exists with a really small group of people that I'm able to like really be able to say these are my aspirations and they don't feel a certain way about it, or this is what I want, or this is my vulnerabilities. I'm actually realized in my, you know, right now is I'm not really willing to share that with anybody. I'm really just really there to share that with a small group of people, and those people have really got nothing to do with the length of friendships that I've had with them. It's how they've shown up for me, how vulnerable they've been. And when I feel a relationship is more about that push and pull strategy, I've heard that for me is where I actually excel, is someone showing me who they are constantly, not I've been friends with Jackie for 25 years. Like, that means nothing if I see her once and we don't really have anything deep, and I really don't even know what her anxieties are, or I don't know anything, no world event. I just see her and she's like, she's good. How's work? Great.
Yeah.
How's your manager? Amazing. How are the kids? Oh, you know, they're living. We're not actually having any deep quality relationships or discussion.
Yeah. Listening to you say that, and I thought about this when I was editing us as well. And like, I think that's also why I kept on bringing up the differences with me being single and you being a wife and a mother and having family, because my friends are my family. And like, not to say that they're not to you, because I know like we've discussed it, like you put a lot of energy in and stuff. But I think when I talk about like being ostracized, it's like, that's what it felt like. It felt like I was like lost a family. And so I guess I don't want to say that like, yes, just because you've known someone a long time, it means your relationships are deep. I just know in like my circumstance, I'm an amalgamation of like everyone that's like ever loved me. It's like, I don't think I had fallouts with friends because we still very much exist in like similar worlds. Sometimes I see on the internet, like people saying like, oh, you know, when someone leaves your life and then you just never see them again, your paths never cross. That's not true. Like I have had moments, like even earlier this year on like January 26th at the Invasion Day rally, I saw people from my past and we didn't speak to each other. We were like just in the crowd, and it was wild because like it was literally like my body just like couldn't handle even like the sight of them. And it was so interesting because like I was with new friends and they're like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I was like, not okay, but I don't want to talk about this right now. All I wanted to do was like run away. I was like, just go home. Just like leave this, like it was so overwhelming being in like a crowd of thousands of people and then also like feeling really overwhelmed like that. But then I just like put my hand on my heart and was like, what's actually going on? All that's going on right now is that I feel shocked and I'm confused because like I'm shocked to see them. It was a surprise to even just see them in the crowd, and I'm confused because for a long time, if I saw them, you know, all you'd want to do is like run up to them, you know, and like love them. And so it's this confusing thing where you're like, oh, I don't really know how I'm supposed to react now. And yeah, I had a real moment where I was like, just go home. Like, take yourself out of this situation and leave. I didn't do that. I don't know why. I just was like, don't do that. And then while we were walking, I bumped into so many other people who were like, majority of them were people I've met in the past few years who were friends of mine or friendly with me. And it was like every person I bumped into was like, give me this big hug and like chat, and they would continue walking with us. And I realized as well, because in that moment when I saw them, it wasn't just shock and confusion, right? It was almost like an emotional flashback. I felt like pathetic. I felt like rejected. I felt like all these feelings that I had felt. And then I was like trying to reassure myself, just breathe. It's just feelings that are coming up and you can handle big feelings. And then literally with every person that like hugged me, I was reassuring myself. I'm like, change the narrative. Because like, that's what I mean about like staring at a wound. Because it can be like that you can look at something and be like, oh, I had these big fallouts and I felt really rejected by people. And or it can be like, okay, I had this thing that happened that was like earth shattering in all this way. And this actually just came up just this week because I met someone new who was back in town and they had a really similar thing to me, but they moved out of Melbourne. They were like, after the pandemic, I felt, you know, I didn't know where I belonged anymore. Yeah. And I couldn't be here. It was too painful. And I felt that. I was like, should I leave this city? Like, I don't know if this is where I need like my home anymore.
Yeah.
And they moved to the Northern Rivers. We were talking about it because I really felt that. I was like, get out, run away.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to be here anymore. Like, delete social media, change your name. I didn't do that.
Oh my God, do you have an alias? Is your name really Julia?
No, I didn't do that. But it was like that. That's not to say it wasn't like very painful to stay here and then really actively be like, all right, if this isn't my home anymore, let's rebuild a new home here.
Yeah.
And so when I was there, like at the rally, so many new people, and I was like with every person, I was like just reminding myself, I'm like, you took all of that pain and you rebuilt something. And sure, it doesn't feel like, because that's the thing, I don't want to ever make it sound like it's like I had these old friends and now I have this new friends, or I had this old life and now I have a new life. They're built on top of each other. It's 100%. So messy. And it's 100%. Like, I don't think you can ever fully like replace the connections you have with people.
No.
That's why it is like a constant grieving process. Like, it's hard to be like, I'm over it or I'm over the hurt. There's always like, even currently I have a crush on someone and all I want to do sometimes is like talk to my old friend, you know, about silly little things about this crush. Just because it's like, there will be things that maybe newer people don't understand about you or like, so, you know, whatever. And so I think that's the hard part. It's not just like the shit parts. It's like every time you have like something new and exciting happening in your life, there are these people that you used to share them with that like you don't share them with anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, 100%. Oh, I feel, let me take a minute to articulate myself in the way that I want to. 100%. And I think that what you're saying is 100% relatable. And I think that we are in different spaces in terms of when we've lost our friends. I think what I've learned from this is, it's not that I don't miss those people anymore. And it's not about filling my world with new people. Because I think that through this process, I've actually, like, given a lot of myself to some of my oldest girlfriends. Like, one of my bestest girlfriends of all time, I've given her way more. Like, I've known her since I was 11, and we always just had this constant thing that we were friends. I think that if I looked at it, and her and I were quite honest about the relationship, there was a good 10 years where she was really good friends with somebody else. I was friends with a whole group of other people. I didn't call her up every single week. I wasn't there for her in the way that I should have been. Yes, there's a long friendship legacy there. But if I look at it in the last 5 to 6 years, our relationship has been so deep. And sometimes I felt like I was looking to other people.
Yeah.
I feel like now I know what she wants for her life.
Yeah.
We can be vulnerable. If anything happened to me, she'd probably be the first person I called, even before Ryan, maybe, because I knew her and I have built this relationship that is really strong and we understand each other, and she knew what I was feeling, and I could say exactly without other people, without her judgment, where I could say this to lots of other people and I'd feel lots and lots of judgment come through. Sometimes people believe that just having long relationships are that. In some of the new people, now that I've opened myself up to the new people, I've been able to find that, and they've been there in a better way.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's true. Yes, there's lots of like lovely, amazing moments that I'll have with my old girlfriends that I miss, but I actually want people to show up in a respectful, like a reciprocal way that actually makes me grow. And sometimes those old relationships, as much as they're beautiful and lovely and full of joy and lots of jokes and like lots of memories there, they weren't actually uplifting me or they weren't meeting me where I was. I wasn't growing with them. So I want you to know that, you know, you'll get to a point where it will be, and once you open yourself up to, you are a queen, you are amazing. No, but it's true, because sometimes it is. It's about finding people. You're going to find your tribe in this part of your life. And this is, I think, the part of your life where you do the most. I mean, when I say I say that, is that like emotionally, physically, spiritually, you get to another level.
Yeah.
And I think this is where you want those arms and those people to make you feel safe, not ridicule you, not pick up that don't have time for you, not make you feel crazy.
And yeah. I don't want to also invalidate the relationships I have now. I have built a really incredible group of people. One of the last conversations I had, like face to face, when we were still friends with an old friend of mine, I had mentioned, I wish I had like a spreadsheet that explained to me like everything everyone needs, because I was like, I have so many friends where like if they're struggling, some of them they self-isolate, they go ghost, right? They shut themselves off. And I was like, I want to have those conversations before it gets that way where it's like, all right, do I leave at 3 weeks? Yeah. How long do you want? Do you just want 5 days of cutting yourself off, or do you want like a month? Because some people, they cut themselves off, but then after it gets to a point, it becomes this like, well, nobody came, nobody reached in to come and get me. And I was like, I want to have these, let's admit, like we all have some shitty coping mechanisms. So I want to know them. So I want to know how to like show up for you in the way that is good for you. Yeah. Because I don't want to be sitting here being overbearing. And I had said, I was like, sometimes I want like this spreadsheet like, so I can keep tabs on like how I need to like care and show up for all the people in my life.
Yeah.
And my friend rolled their eyes at me. But like I brought this up in this like fight that we'd had and I don't remember their exact words. It's not relevant. Got really shamed by that. I was like, oh my God, yeah, what's wrong with me? Like, why do I want this spreadsheet? That's like, that's so gross, right? But then I actually, through work, I did like a conference, and with this conference, I ended up staying in like a hotel suite with two of the other girls from the conference, and we didn't know each other. And all of a sudden we're on a road trip, staying in the hotel suite, singing Beyonce while also like working for the weekend. And we had these big DNMs in the nighttime. It was by the last night we're there, I'm telling them all about these friend breakups, and I bring up this spreadsheet and I'm like, yeah, I guess it's pretty dorky of me, but I think she missed out on the point that it was just more like, I want to know the very specific ways my friends want to be cared for. And they're like, did you ever make that spreadsheet? And I was like, no. And they were like, oh, that just actually sounds like a really great community resource. And I couldn't believe, like, to have, like, my silly little idea, like, something just so small validated. Like that, where you're like, oh, you get it. Like, I don't even know you. I've known you for four days. That was 2 years ago. And, like, she was at my house the other week talking to me about her current life situations.
And that's what I mean. I think it's like, as I grow older and I think about it when I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, like I want to not just say that I've had friends since I was 10 or 20. Yeah. I want to be challenged. I want it, but I want it to feel safe. I want it to feel interesting and uplifting. I want to be able to say to my friends, I do want to do this, and I don't want to be laughed at. I don't want people to second guess this. You know, when I think about how far I've come, so that I don't want to nurture past relationships. But I want them to feel warm. You know what I mean? I want it to feel growth. I want conflict.
Yeah.
I want conflict where it makes a relationship better. And I remember when we were talking to my auntie and she was like, yeah, it wasn't always perfect with me and your mum, but what we did was just show up and have that. And so if I meet someone, I'm 92 and I die at 93, like 10 days later, but I made that connection. For me, that's going to take my heavenly spirit to another greater place. It's true. I'm not looking for like for long lasting now. I'm just looking for really beautiful human connections.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited that like, honestly, like through this year, I was like, oh my God, I've had a lot of anxiety with this podcast. Juliet knows.
Yeah.
Because I never want to hurt anyone, and anyone that felt hurt, I felt really bad. But like now I'm coming into, you know, I'm putting out my intentions for season two, which is about giving the people that listen to this episode resources. I want to also bring content here that enriches our community.
Yeah.
You know, that really, but I also want to have petty moments. And I also want to be human. Yeah. I want to tell parts of my life that have helped me become the woman that I am. And sometimes it is about sharing a story, but if I can say something that's going to help somebody else, whether it's through grief, death, I don't know, troubled relationships, that just helps them, I'm okay with that, you know, as long as I'm not harming anyone else's story through for the process of that. Those are my intentions, and I think that we could totally do that. We can totally achieve it.
Definitely. Well, I think for this season as well, it was really about like where we were at the time, like within those friend breakups. So it's almost like the entire season was really like about endings almost, yeah. like what it was about transition and changes.
Yeah, transition, and, I would call it. Because yeah, we're in this middle part. Totally. And also, like, even starting, we're like, this is what we think it's going to look like. Mm. And then as we would talk, and, you know, sometimes it'd be off topic, sometimes yeah. it'd be on topic. It was because we, like, it kind of wasn't planned because
yeah.
we were feeling.
But yeah, I definitely think with season two, it, like, we're at a point where it can be more about actually the actual skills and how you build those new connections or and how you strengthen the old connections. And yeah, talking to other people as well, because it has been really enriching hearing from different people. Yeah. You know, it's definitely been something I think, yeah, we've both learned a lot from the process.
Yeah.
But we'd love to hear what other people want from it or have benefited from, or I'm open to criticisms, but
yeah. send us a few. Listen, I think that, like I said, because it is a passion project, and me and Juliet like to be good at things.
I'm also a university also lecturer, so I'll take your criticism. The way you criticise, I will probably give you a critique on that.
Because yes.
You need to make sure it's actually critical feedback and not just your negative opinion.
Your intention is that you want it better, not just because you want to tell me.
Not just because you're being a jerk.
Yeah.
Not just because you hate us. If you hate us, move on with your life. Do something else.
Listen to another podcast. Yeah. No, 100%. We want to hear from you. If you've got some ideas or something that you want to hear from the podcast or even a resource that we should be tapping into, send it all our way. Like, you know, like I said, we wanted to make this to be a resource in the world or be like, you know, it's also it's free therapy for myself. I'm not gonna lie, it's very I walk out of these studios feeling very light, very like So no, we do want to hear from you. Please send us questions or resources or anything, any suggestions. We're happy with the criticism as long as it comes with beautiful intention or some good intention. We really, honestly, Juliet, from the bottom of my heart, Juliet has done a lot of the work in this. So with all the editing, to be all her beautiful illustrations. Aww. And so from the bottom of my heart, I really want to thank you. This journey wouldn't have been possible without you at all, and all of your wisdom. Even just through our discussions, I've been able to be a better friend or obtain the communication skills that, or even the thought patterns, the level of empathy I needed sometimes that I might have not thought about in certain situations. I also wanted to like thank all of our friends who've supported.
Totally.
You know what I mean? All the likes, all of the shares.
Yeah.
All the recommendations to other friends. I had a friend
that
was. Yeah, my friend was like, I'm sending this out to my team. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, go Nadia. She was like, girl, when you do something, I want to support it. I've been really, really, really fortunate. We've been really, really fortunate. Yeah. I want to thank Arlo and Errol Green and Jesse for putting that soundtrack. E. Bobby G, if you haven't heard his new album, you've got to listen to it. But I didn't say thank you, and I really did want to say thank you to that.
Oh, well, I want to say thank you to you as well, because as much as I did do work, I wouldn't have put it out. Fatuma very much arrived at my house one evening and was like, we're publishing. we've got the Apple Podcast is set up. We're publishing it now. And I was like, now? Are you sure? And like, it was a very frenzied energy. And yeah, I definitely would have dilly-dallied for longer. Who knows? Honestly, I would have been asking the cards if it was the appropriate time. So
I think you did ask the cards in the end.
I do think that sums up big differences in our nature. The way I talk about something sometimes, it sounds very theoretical, right? I spend a lot of time alone. When you spend a lot of time by yourself, relationships are in theory. Because like I could just, like particularly when I used to work by myself, I could totally cut myself off from the rest of the world and everything could just be done via emails, except for sometimes when clients would call me and I'd have to actually like be a person. Things can become about thinking and overthinking, right? Yeah. Because even just to like connect with someone, I have to use my phone to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas when you are living with people or when you're embodying being in relationships, there's like subtleties, right? Like not everything gets said.
Yeah.
Not everything gets overanalyzed, right? Because it gets to be moved on in quicker ways. And so it's really interesting because I'm like, as much as I can sit there and I'm overthinking things, Fatuma a lot of time is just being and embodying it. And it was like, that was kind of even the way and we were doing these things. It was like you coming in and being like, let's get it out. Let's do. And I'm like, I have to really think about the consequences of this edit right now. And like, so it was interesting seeing that reaction.
I always think the best the best kind of partnerships are the partnerships that are not the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like having two people with different skill sets, two different ways of entering the world or viewpoints is really like look at me and my husband, I always say, like, we are the total opposites.
Yeah.
When people meet me and they meet him, they're like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. Like, how did you, like, this does not sound like the partnership that I would have thought for you or for him. Why I'm saying it is I'm also a bit of a, like, do it to anything. I'm always saying yes versus no before, because I do think that something will stick in the world. I think that whenever I've thought about it for too long, it just never happens.
Absolutely.
And then it's regrets, and I don't like to live my life as regrets.
Yeah.
So when I was saying let's do it, I knew we were going to do it.
Yeah.
But I was just like, the universe makes so many reasons to say no.
Yeah.
There's so many obstacles. And I think that when you're in that mindset, because I know lots of people aren't in that mindset, they're in the opposite. They'll put obstacle after obstacle in their way. You're like, babes, is that even an obstacle? Some of my friends will say something. I'm like, is that an issue?
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the reason why you should be
like,
saying
I think you can jump over that pretty quickly.
Yeah, because I've always lived like that through my life, through my family. Like, Melinda and I giggle about it all the time. We're like, she could have just easily did that on a Tuesday. What? And so I think that that's why we're connected to each other. I think that's what, that draws us to each other, is that kind of, you think about it a lot. Anyway, we want to thank everyone for listening and supporting us, and we hope to be back in later in the year. Bigger and bolder and...
Oh, much bigger and bolder. Oh, yeah.
Let's be friends. Subscribe to the Disappointing Friend podcast. Follow us at the Disappointing Friend podcast on Instagram and TikTok. DM us a voice recording with all your friendship, tribulations and triumphs, or just thoughts. Or email us at thedisappointingfriendpodcast@gmail.com. We're obviously not psychiatrists or psychologists or therapists in any capacity, but we have years and years and years of experience disappointing friends and being disappointed by friends. Until next time, the disappointing friend has left the chat.
My older friends who I had very nasty falling outs with, it was one of the qualities that they hated the most about me.
Was that
the astrology thing. And they thought that, like, one, they thought it was like a way for me to, like, I think they found it maybe belittling, because it's like me assuming I know things about their personality that they don't necessarily see. And I can see that. You know, like friends being like, they said, like, you're like psychoanalyzing me with the stars or something.